93.5, 95.3.
All right, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 today, a very unique radio opportunity. Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences and one of the outstanding innovators in oil and gas, live this morning from Houston, Texas. Johnny!
Stevie J.
Mike Ditka. Mike, are you in Naples?
I'm in Naples. The high will be 86 today.
Boy.
Woo!
Mike Ditka, Naples, Florida. Of course, Mike Hall of Famer, Iron Mike, are the greatest guys we know. Thrilled to have both of them on, and we go through the gamut of information. One of the big stories that's permeating the United States this morning is the sudden death of Andrew Breitbart. Listen to this.
Andrew Breitbart was described as a happy warrior taking on the left.
This is my war cry for 2012.
His website, bigjournalism.com, is credited with breaking the scandal that led to Congressman Anthony Weiner's resignation.
Quite frankly, I'd like an apology for him being complicit in a blame-the-messenger strategy.
That's Andrew Breitbart, who dies. He's at the bar having a red wine in Brentwood, California, having a nice conversation with a guy, a gregarious man, a force on the right. And I tell you, Johnny, you never know. You breathe every day. You hope you make it through. But he's walking home, and Brentwood falls over and dies. 43 years old.
43. I mean, that's right. You got to be thankful for every day because you don't know.
Mike, he was a real force, no question about it. He was a voice from the right side. There's no question.
Well, he had a lot of courage and conviction to take the stance he took. There's no question about that. It's shocking when anybody dies, but at 43, to be evidently pretty normal, all of a sudden just drop dead. Evidently there was a problem that nobody knew about. And that's the thing that bothers you. I know better than most people. We refuse to get checkups, and if you don't get a checkup, how do you know if there's anything wrong?
Yeah. Apparently, they did know a year ago he's on some sort of heart medication. He had a trainer. He was aware of some sort of heart issue. But again, a guy who was working all kinds of things, particularly this year. In fact, he said he had tape that would change the election regarding Obama, and his entire staff says they'll release it in about 10 days. So we'll see what they've got.
Highly unlikely there.
Yeah, I agree.
That was his business.
Right.
But he had some pretty interesting perspectives, and well-known guy. I didn't know a whole lot about him, Steve, but it's a little young,
No question. Andrew Breitbart, dead at the age of 43. Sheriff Arpaio says the birth certificate is a forgery.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio says the posse of retired deputies, along with lawyers, showed that the birth certificate released by the White House was manufactured electronically. They also questioned the authenticity of his Selective Service card. But Arpaio grew defensive as reporters asked him if he was accusing the president of being a liar.
I'm not accusing anyone of anything until we find out who may have committed these alleged crimes.
All right, is this something that we need to be talking about, Johnny, or are you never going to win this argument?
I don't know. It's relevant from the standpoint of, I always thought that the character and integrity of the system and the people behind it, and especially the top leaders, was important. I don't know if anyone agrees with that anymore. No one seems to care. I think it's relevant as far as, where were you born? If you're born in Hawaii, that's great. Kansas, great. I don't care. I mean, I was born right there in Urbana, Stevie.
Nope.
I wouldn't try to hide that. I guess if I was born in India, I'd probably say I was born in India. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, but who knows?
But again, it's a little bit of a case of, you're closing a barn door after the horse left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little late in the game, and I understand why. It's important because, first of all, you deceived a lot of the system if it's true. But if it's not true, it's just, it's another attempt to take a shot at the president, period.
Well, and I think if you go back, in all honesty, if you go back to Watergate, the real crime there was not telling the truth, is what I was taught. I mean, that's what I think.
Absolutely.
They were telling me, and now you're saying it doesn't matter. I don't know, but you're right, Mike.
Matter.
It's kind of water under the bridge at this point. Although it could be a factor, in a decision on whether you want to continue with the same president, or if you want to vote for somebody else, I guess that could affect your decision if you don't trust the guy. So
no, there's no question about it. But you know, it, what you say is very true. I mean, I, you know, you don't know for sure, but you wonder why anybody would do that and how it could be, how you could do it and get away with it, really, in this country. But that's why it's hard for me to accept it.
All right, Senator Lindsey Graham on oil and gas.
We should be buying oil from Canada. We should drill in the Gulf Coast, and we should extract oil from Anwar, like Sarah Palin says. That's 3 million barrels a day without being more dependent on Mideast oil.
Now, are we short oil because we're not mining for this, or is the underlying theme here we're going to make them hurt enough so that we have to do cylinder and electric cars, Mike? What do you think?
Well, evidently, I mean, I don't know what's driving up the oil prices. Evidently, John knows that a lot better than I do, but I would assume that when oil prices continue to go up, the demand is greater than supply. I mean, or supply, demand is greater than supply, and that seems to be the biggest problem right now. But you can't be master to everybody. You can't bow to the environmentalist and this is America, you know. The oil was put there for a reason. I mean, it's a natural resource that we use for energy, and not to be able to get that. And I understand there's always a problem. There can be a spill in the Gulf or this or that, but still, you know, we've heard everything. Now, the Keystone Pipeline, we've turned everything down. It doesn't make any sense to me. But you want to be dependent on Venezuela or the Middle East? Well, fine. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's also what's going to drive prices up, because everybody knows if we need the oil, we'll pay whatever we got to pay. And that's where speculators do, you know, that's just part of the free market system too. You speculate to when you put a value on something, what you think it's going to be. But Steve, we could have a lot more oil, and it's not a grand conspiracy, I don't think. It's simply what happens when government gets bigger and bigger and more involved. It slows everything down. There's these questions. Somebody raises a flag, and you no telling what can happen, Mike. I mean, Steve and I were just talking about University of Illinois sports, where two people didn't like the chief. We don't have a mascot because they made some bogus deal about how it hurt their feelings. When somebody wants to talk about a pipeline across one of their streams where their great-grandfather grew up, we stop and listen. There's a permit that has to be issued. We have to have a committee, and it just takes time. So it's easy to just buy the oil, Steve, but we've known we needed to develop more of our own energy for the last 40 years. We've known that, and we've just gone too slow. I think that's the problem. We're just slow.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Newt Gingrich last night.
President Obama is very quick to apologize to Islam while he attacks the Catholic Church. This is the most anti-religious administration in American history.
And then regarding the apology that the president made regarding the burning of Qurans?
The reason that it was important is the same reason that the commander on the ground, General Allen, apologized, and that is to save lives and to make sure our troops who are there right now are not placed in further danger.
It's hard to tell. Do you think it has improved it with that apology?
It calmed things down.
All right, there's a lot of trouble still in Afghanistan. Mike, was the apology the proper thing to do for the president?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, if you look at it from the point of view he just explained, any chance you have to save lives of the American soldiers, yes, it would be the proper thing to do. I think when you look at the situation, what happened, I don't believe anything was done intentionally. I think it was an accident, and the people really didn't know what they were doing when they got rid of this, burned these things. So, you know, yeah, I don't have any problem with the apology either. I really don't have any, because if you save American lives, then it's worthwhile. But is there any guarantee you're going to save anything? Look at what they're doing over there. It's crazy now. And this just gave them an excuse. Gave them an excuse to be rebellious and to take lives. I mean, and that's basically what they're doing.
Will, and I think, I don't think it's that big a deal, other than I don't think there's really any way we can, you know, put a boundary on war either. It's like, well, look, you know, if you don't want this kind of thing to happen, we need to have peace. We need to talk. And they've been doing things that don't make sense long before we ever did anything like burn some books. And I think they were worried, Steve, about messages going back and forth,
right,
and some, you know, kind of relaying plans within books, including the Quran, is why that evolved. But yeah, we make a big deal out of some things we shouldn't, and then we ignore some things we should not ignore. But you know, Mike's right. I think if there's a chance that it can calm things down by just saying something like that, maybe it's okay. But
John, let me say one thing. If the Bible would have been burned, nothing would have been said. If they
burned
the Bible, nothing would have been said. So, I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You just can't have one side. And that's what we've done here. We've kind of we've bowed to this this Muslim thing. And I think it's wrong. You know, you understand who they are. You respect their religion. They have a right to choose whatever they want to do. But you don't. You just don't cower to them. And I think that's what we're doing.
All right, 7:46 with Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny. $5 million paid for the release of the 16 held in Egypt. So we'll have the 16 Americans that were going to be on trial. We paid some sort of a bail or a bond or something, but Egypt got $5 million, and I think our guys are coming home. So that's positive. But boy, what a mess in Egypt! What a mess in Syria! What a mess in Iran! What a mess in Iraq! What a mess in the Middle East, Johnny.
Well, you know, Stephen, we had a job over there. It's tough duty. And we actually did a job for an Egyptian contractor. And I was talking to John and Phil. I'm like, man, I don't know. And they're like, well, it's guaranteed by the Egyptian government. What could go wrong? And I'm like, wow. Well, so anyway, we did get the job done. And we got most of the money.
Well,
but, yeah, we have this government, Mike, guaranteeing us money, and the government's gone. And, you know, one of the things the guy says, well, our guy knows Hosni Mubarak. I wonder what that'll get you right now. So pretty unstable.
Well, yeah, you know, I think we loan them or we give them, over $1 billion a year.
Right.
So I would cut all that off. I really would. But, you know, that's me. So you say, well, they'll go get it from Iran or something. Fine. That's okay, too. There's no problem with that. I think in time you'll find that Iran will say, hey, we don't have to help you people. I mean, it's to me, it doesn't make any sense. If they're an ally, fine. If they're not an ally, then fine, they're not. But, I mean, let's not fall all over ourselves because of Egypt, that's for sure.
Yeah. Next hour, we're going to play Bill Melberg, our political humorist. He sent this earlier. This will be part of our show this morning, but it's such a breath of fresh air. I just wanted you guys to hear Margaret Thatcher from years ago.
Some socialists seem to believe that people should be numbers in a state computer. We believe they should be individuals. We're all unequal. No one, thank heavens, is quite like anyone else, however much the socialists may pretend otherwise. And we believe that everyone has the right to be unequal. But to us, every human being is equally important.
Margaret Thatcher, I mean, just a breath of fresh air. I'm a fan of Margaret Thatcher years
That's
ago.
That's a good way of putting it, huh, Mike? I think she sums that up pretty good.
Common sense.
Yep.
Well,
common
sense. We don't
sense.
Have any of that.
Yeah.
Common sense.
All right, the Chardon shooting north of Cleveland, the school shooting, the kid is a bullied outcast, kills three, he's charged with murder. I mean, just another head shaker this week in the news. Unbelievable.
That's tough. You know, it is a head shaker.
I guess nobody saw it coming, and I mean, I really don't, you don't know. I mean, we don't know. You know, this bullying thing has become... It's pretty significant, you know. Some of these kids are fragile and they can't handle it, and you know, and it's not right. They shouldn't be bullied, but you know, there are those who do it. So and they get away with it, and then somebody that reacts like this, and then you wonder, wow, here's what happened because of it. I mean, and I don't know how you control it. Believe me, I have no idea how you control it.
Yeah. You're talking about.
Well, and I don't think there's anything. I think you can try to over-control stuff like that. I mean, we had bullies, Steve, you can make it worse by trying to micromanage, you know, what might go into somebody's mind if someone does this or that. And, you know, things are things are a little bit different, and it makes, I guess, people go over the line more. That's what we see more and more as civilization progresses, is people just cross that line more and more and go further and further away from what we would call decent human behavior. And
yeah.
What do you do?
All right, to a few sports headlines this morning, Major League Baseball talking to expand the postseason to 10 teams with a one-game playoff between non-division winning teams. So more could make the postseason, Mike.
Well, I don't know. You know, again, it's a lot of baseball, you know. But, you know, I don't know what the purpose is, but if you tell me the purpose is anything else than making money,
yeah,
then I don't really know. If it's more than that, fine. You'd have to explain it to me, but I think it's all about money, and basically that's what it is. I mean, you know, it's happened in every sport, and, you know, the more you get people into the playoffs, the more interest you get within the different communities, the more money you're going to make. That's just a fact of life.
Well, my motivation there is let's get enough teams in where the Cubs can get in there. Mike, how many is that going to be, though?
That ain't going to happen.
No, I think that it works for the sport because all the various cities still have a chance to make the playoffs, which means you still have a chance to win a championship. It's hard to sell tickets when you're out for the year.
Yeah, that's true.
It just makes it so you just keep that hope alive and give them a chance to make it. So I think that's why. That's why you can get – I think the NBA has too many playoff teams. I think the NFL is about right. And I think I've always thought baseball did have too few spots for the playoffs. I don't think that's a bad idea.
All right, 50 years ago today, and I bet Mike remembers it probably better than we do, Johnny, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points March 2nd, 1962 in a game with the Knicks, Philadelphia, and the Wilt is still, Mike, 100-point basketball game in the NBA.
Well, it's unheard of. It's, and, you know, I mean, you wonder how anybody could do that. But he was, of course, he was so far ahead of the time and his size and his abilities. And, you know, Diana just told me, I didn't realize he died at age 63. I didn't know that. But, you know, it'll never be. You know, basketball's a team sport. There's five guys on the team. If one guy can score 100 points, those other four guys must not have been doing anything but handing them the ball.
Yeah, they were actually trying to get to 100. I think they were working to get Wilt the ball so he could make 100 points, and I forgot who they were playing. But
it was the Knicks, the New York Knicks.
Yeah, okay. So, but Mike's right. He was about 25 years ahead of his time in terms of just 7 foot. 2, wasn't he?
Well, I remember when he came out of the high school in Philadelphia, his name was Lou Alcindor.
That was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wilt was right there. Wilt was ahead of Kareem,
Yeah, but I tell you, just to show you how times have changed, there were 4,100 people in attendance. Wilt shot 36 out of 63 from the field, so he missed a lot of shots. He made 28 out of 32 free throws, shooting it underhanded. And the ball after the game was stuffed in his duffel bag. Somebody took it or he lost it. They don't know where the ball is. And to get a ride home back to Philadelphia, back to his house, he caught a ride with some New York Knicks players. I mean, that's how times have changed from the standpoint of the NBA. 50 years ago today, Wilt Chamberlain. And finally, the Honda Classic. Tigers 1-over, 7 behind Davis Love, who tied a course record 64 at PGA National. A nice tight golf course with the bear trap there, Mike. Have you played that one?
I have played it, and you know, guys, I don't know if you can comprehend 64 on any golf course.
Yeah, right.
64 on the open highway. Come on, that's 7-under. I mean, Love played phenomenal. Now, I would think that he'll come back to the field some. The weather down here right now is pretty daggone good. Oh, really, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of wind or anything else, but, that's special. So when you say, well, Tiger's 7 behind, well, my God, so is a lot of other people.
Yeah.
No kidding. So Davis hasn't won for a while, has he?
No, Steve? He has not. I mean, to pop up with a 64. Now, again, the guys that went in the morning didn't have the wind of the afternoon. So
right. Exactly. But it's going to be a factor.
Yeah.
If the wind blows on that golf course, it is a factor, believe me.
Well, they've got that ending 4 or 5 holes, Johnny. When you got nothing but water for your par three,
water everywhere, and
you can't miss. You just got to keep hitting it. So,
boy, I'll tell you something. That might not be the place for me. But
that's crazy stuff. Well, gentlemen, we're going to leave it there, but we'll call you again on Monday. But it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and talent.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Good talking with you.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. God bless you both, too. All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, brought to you by Menachie's Restaurant, Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola, and by VersaBar.